Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew, hallelujah. Oh, my, my, my. Lift them up, wave them around, repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I shall be taught from the living word of God. And I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. My life will be better after having heard the ever living precious word of God. I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 133. Psalms 133. Last week, we began to talk about a title of the message was That Place Called There. That Place Called There. And we're going to begin reading with verse 1, Psalms 133. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore." There the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. And one of the first things we talked about, that place called there, was understanding that the unity that must remain amongst the body. And if we want to see and experience the blessings of God upon our life continually, we must do as Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 tells us, that we must maintain that unity. And everybody has a part to play where unity is concerned. We have to decide that we're going to stay unified, stay together. We're going to run together. We're going to walk together. We're going to pray together. We're going to laugh together. We're going to eat together. Amen. We're going to shout together. And so it's so important that the scripture say, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." You know, there's something about seeing people that are together. You know why it's so important? Because in the world today, you don't see a whole lot of that. You see a whole lot of individualism. And especially with all these smartphones and tablets. You see people everywhere, people walking, they got their head down. You see people in the restaurant, everybody's, you may have 15, 20 people sitting at the table with their heads down. And they say, "Oh, yeah, we went out to eat together." Yeah, but did you have conversation with one another? Do you know what's on one another's mind? There's something about when you begin to communicate, and God intended us to communicate with one another. That's right. And, you know, one of the things I heard recently that really stood out to me was regarding especially the young people, you know, the younger generation, you know, they grew up with technology. I mean, they start out with in nursery. They got everything already. They're pushing buttons and stuff like this. And then when they go to kindergarten, you know, kindergartens, they teach them how to go online, how to surf the web and all these things. So they grow up. They grew up in that culture. And because they grow up in it and there's so much knowledge and so much to learn, you know, it become addictive. But the other side of that is that you can get into that going onto the web that you forget what house you live in. And you really don't interact with the people that are in the house that are actually paying the bills, that are feeding you. Because you're in another world. And then on top of that, it used to be where families would get together and they would talk about things. And nowadays you have a younger generation. They have their own friends that they've never met. Some depends on what social platform that you're on, whether it's Twitter, you know, there's a slew of them. I don't want to begin to try to name all of them. But depends on in Facebook and all these different ones. Some of these kids that are in the fourth and the fifth grade have 4,000 or 5,000 friends. And many of them, the majority of them, they never met. And so when they have an issue, they don't do like we used to do as we being older. We used to come together and talk, have conversation. Rather than bring the issues to their parents or their older siblings, they talk to their friends that they never met. And you as a parent really don't know all that's going on in their life. And so there's a big disconnect in the family. And it doesn't make any difference whether you live in a trailer park or whether you live in the gated community. It's all the same. And we have to work to bring things together. We have to work to continue to reconnect and stay connected with one another. And if we don't work at it, then whoever is putting information on the web has more influence over your family than you do. Even if you birth them, even if you nurse them, even if you clothe them, those on the web have more influence on them than you do. And when you say something to them, it really don't mean much to them. They need to have a wake-up call and have their phone taken away, their tablet taken away, or have certain amount of time that you're only able to get on during this time. And it's amazing how selfish you can become with that, because they start talking about, well, that's my phone, that's my tablet. Did you buy it? Yeah, you're not the boss of me. Oh, I'm going to be the boss of you in a minute. Just hold on here. Now hear this. And we have to make time. I remember Colette said regarding her and the girls that they went on a fast from Facebook. Because people are always posting. And you can be on there just following everything all the time. Matter of fact, you don't even wash the clothes at the house no more. You don't even sweep the floor anymore. Matter of fact, you even walk in the house, just walk over dirt and everything else because you're looking at the phone. And you don't even see anything. So if you don't see it, it don't bother you. But all of a sudden, if it was removed from you and people knock at your door and they want to come in your house, oh my God, I got to clean this house up. What a revelation. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren and sisterin to dwell together in unity. Unity, that oneness. And then we found out also, in order to stay in that place called there, that place called there is where the will of God is. Where the will of God is, that's where the anointing is, that's where your breakthrough is, that's where whatever you need is right there. You know, we gave an example of the disciples once Jesus ascended back to heaven from Luke chapter 24, and also in Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus, he ascends back to glory. And matter of fact, the disciples, about 500 people were standing there, and an angel appeared. And the angel said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus that you see is going up. He's going to come back in like manner." Oh boy, I just feel a preach coming on me there right now. Amen. He's coming back in like manner. See, there are people, they're so into their world, they don't even realize that Jesus is coming back. There will be another coming. And I believe in between now and the second coming, there's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a catching away according to the scriptures, the way I understand it. There's going to be a catching away. Somebody said, "Well, I don't know. Are you pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib?" I said, "Well, I just tell you this. I'm going out on the first load." Amen. I'm going out on the first load. Yeah. And now, you know, when Jesus come back, when that catching away, Jesus not coming back to the earth. We're going to be caught up to meet him. That second coming, he's coming here. But during that rapture, he's going to catch us up. Yeah, those that are dead in Christ going to rise first, the scriptures say. And we that are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. Oh, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. May I tell you, we used to sing this song in church. We'll be caught up to meet him, caught up to meet him. Oh, the joy, joy and happiness will be mine, will be mine. Amen. I tell you, that thing just gets so good, I'd better stop it right there. Because I tell you, I can shout by myself now. I tell you, y'all saw me up here earlier. I can shout by myself. I'm used to that. Amen. Glory to God. I can shout the glory down. Hallelujah. Amen. And now hear this. The devil has come to a point in church where he got people arguing and fussing so much that there's a lot of disunity. That's why you have so many different denominations and different groupings. I think they said over 30,000 different denominations, organizations that are all separate. They got their own identity. And all, you know, the majority of them are talking about Christ. And then you got some of them, they just call themselves a church, but they talking about whatever they want to talk about because the law said they can do that. And they have a lawful assembly, whether they gather together, smoke marijuana, or drink whiskey or whatever, they call themselves a group, a church. But they ain't called according to the Bible. That's just doing what the flesh wanted to do and getting some tax write-offs. Amen. I wish we had people in Congress that were talking straight. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. Let me move right along. So 500 people gathered and saw Jesus when he ascended back. And Jesus said, do not leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And Jesus had told his disciples, I'm going to pray to the Father, and he's going to send you another comforter. Jesus said, I can't be with you guys forever, because Jesus in his physical body could only be one place at one time. But he knew that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, can be everywhere at the same time. Hallelujah. He can be in Australia, Africa, South America, North America, Europe, Africa, all at the same time, saying the same thing through his servant. And they don't have to go on YouTube and find out what the other one is preaching. Quiet. Because the Holy Spirit is personally present. He lives on the inside. And on that day, when the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, was fully come, they, speaking of 120 of the 500 people, 120, they were all assembled together in one accord, in one place. And something happened that it shook up the world. Amen. Something happened that shook up the world. The scripture said that the Holy Spirit sat upon each of them. There appeared unto them cloven tongue as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they all began to speak. Some people say, well, they got the Holy Spirit, you don't have to speak. Well, you need to stick with the scripture. Amen. They had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sat upon each of them, and they spoke. Somebody says, well, I got the Holy Spirit and I don't speak. Well, every instance in the scripture where people received the Holy Spirit, people heard them talk in tongues outside of their known language. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit comes within us. But if you want to get them tongues, you have to say something. Amen. Ain't no such thing. You have the Holy Spirit and fire and nothing, and you don't have that glossolalia that goes along with it. Amen. That tongue that go along with it. And so there need to be unity. Hear this. There need to be unity where the church is concerned and what the scripture said. Not what the professor said, what the scripture said. Whole denomination said, no, that's not for today. That's just wildfire. Well, I'd rather have a little wildfire than somebody coming in throwing a bucket of water on everything. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, and then we talked about number one, that unity. Then number two, we talked about the power of praise, talking about that place called there. the power of praise. Also, it brings about unity. The scripture says in Psalms 22, verse 3, God inhabit the praises of his people. I mean, just think of, if you want God involved, just start praising him. Start to magnify him. Whatever you magnify will manifest. If you magnify sickness and disease, guess what's going to manifest? If that's all you talk about, guess what's going to manifest? If that's all you study, guess what's going to manifest? But if you magnify God in the midst of dire circumstances, I'm telling you, God will come and get in the midst. God will show off. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Now, hear this. Now, we praise God regardless of what's going on. Regardless of what's going on. Why? Because he's God. Oh, hallelujah. We read from Psalms chapter 67. The scripture says, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then something is going to happen. Notice, nothing happened until we began to open our mouth and began to praise God. The scripture said, let all the people praise thee. Then the earth shall yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all of the ends of the earth shall fear him. There's a lack of fear of God in the earth today. You know why? The people of God not really doing what he told them to do. And we act just like the rest of the world. Well, I owe, so off to work I go. I owe, so off to work I go. I wonder what happened if we just begin to do what the Bible said do. Wonder what happened to what you owe. You heard of Jehovah Jireh? Yeah, yeah. When we begin to magnify God according to the scripture, you know what? I don't know everything. But that little bit that I do know, I put it into practice. Amen. And I testify about that. And as I practice that, I see things begin to manifest. Amen. You know, right now, even where this place is concerned, or where the children of Israel was concerned, God told them, he said, now I'm ordaining an angel to lead you. He said, you're going through the wilderness, and they went through it for 40 years. They didn't have to go through it for 40 years. They went through it for 40 years because they didn't obey God. God had a place for them. He began with their great grandfather, Abraham, and told him that I have a land called Canaan for you. A land of milk and honey. God said, I have that for you. That was their place called there. And then they come to the place at the end, at the end of leaving Egypt. And all of a sudden they come to a place where, lo and behold, they send spies into the land to spy out the land. And the spies who were leaders, they came back with produce from the land. And they said, the land that you send us is a land that flows with milk and honey. I mean, they had one cluster of grapes on a pole that two men had to carry. Boy, don't you know them were some big grapes. I'm telling you, some grapes about the size of apples or something like that, you know. Ah, man, you know, it said, surely the land is a land that flows with milk and honey. Then they added, but there are giants in the land. We heard about these giants before. Now hear this. If God knew about the land of milk and honey, don't you think he knew who was there before he told you about it? Now if God said he's never going to leave you and never forsake you, regardless of who's there, he's going to keep his word. I mean, this is the same God that when you came up to the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army behind you and they're charging, they're not coming to just escort you back. They're coming to kill you. And all of a sudden, God tells Moses, what's that you have in your hand? God loves to work with what you have in your hand. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, I tell you what, give me one of them old big tanks, them howitzer tanks. I forget all the new names of the tanks that they got out now. You know, and it said, give me one of them. No, God said, what do you have in your hand? A stick. He said, well, I tell you what, wave that across the waters. He didn't know what was going to happen. He just obeyed God. He began to wave that across the water, and lo and behold, God got involved. That brings me to my next point, obedience. Obedience. Hear this. What you have in your hand may not seem like it's going to help you get to the next level. But when you obey God with what you have, God gets involved and makes the difference. He lifted up that rod over the waters, and God got involved, and he divided the waters. So that not only did he just divide the waters, that was great by itself, but he divided the waters and he sucked up all the water out of the ground and caused the children of Israel to go through the sea on dry ground. Not muddy ground. Dry ground. I'm talking about that place called there. When you are where you're supposed to be, it's amazing the miracle signs and wonders that you'll see when you just obey God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I say, when you obey God, when you believe God, when God says something, you say, yes, Lord, I believe what you said. I will do that. I commit myself to it. It's amazing all the resources that God put behind you. All of heaven backs you up. As you obey God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm here to tell you today that all of heaven is behind you. You think you're by yourself. You're not alone. Look at somebody and say, I'm not alone. God's with us. Amen. Glory to God. God is with us. Not only is God with us, God is for us. Not only God with us, not only is God for us, but God is in us. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You are the temple of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So that place called there is not necessarily a natural place. Amen. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. We don't have to go to some of the places in Israel or some other place. Guess what? You are the temple of the living God. Amen. Now, and focusing on this place, this point called obedience. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, I think it is. Yeah, 1 Kings, chapter 17. Oh, my God. I'll just begin with verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Now, you got to know something about your God when you start talking like that. Now, hear this. There are some things that politicians will not do. And that's why God needs a prophet. Did you hear what I said? God needs a prophet to decree some things. And they don't have to be politically correct. No. Oh, hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Boy, I tell you, you got to know your God before you stand up and talk to the king like that. But you know, kings back in those days had greater respect than these folks today. You know, these presidents and prime ministers. They think they the Lord. But they got another thing coming. Hear this. You know, we thank God for the Pope. I mean, he leading about 1.3 billion people. That's a big responsibility. That's more than T.D. Jakes got. And you know, the bigger you are, I'm telling you, God's got to help you to be able to maneuver that many people. You remember Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt? You think Moses had problems? Be the Pope. And you got all kind of issues. Hear this. Whatever goes on in the world goes on in the church too. I hope y'all are not surprised about that.
No.
Yeah. Okay, let's continue. Verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from that brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Somebody say, the Lord has commanded the ravens, to feed him there. We're talking about that place called there. See, that place called there is the will of God. Hallelujah. Now, you can say, well, I don't want to go by no brook. I'm not into roughing it. I'm not a hunter. I'm not an outdoorsman. Lord, if you tell me to go the Omni Resort Hotel, that's more like me. If you tell me to go to the Ritz-Carlton, that's more like me. But God said, no, I want you to go down by the brook. He said, I've already given commands. Hear this. When we obey God, God has already orchestrated everything for your success. It's already included in the word that he's given you. Oh, hallelujah. Already given it to you. Provision is included in the command. Oh, hallelujah. That's good. Amen. He said, get away from that place called there. Now, it's one thing for God to speak, but that's not the end of the story. God always said throughout the scripture, as for me, as for me, as for me. But that's not the end of the story, because he's talking to somebody. Huh? And there needs to be a response. And we see in verse 5, so he, Elijah, the Tishbite, he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And then it says, verse 6, this is the promise of God. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. I used to love listening to R.W. Shambach. He said the Lord had him bring Elijah a quarter pounder every day. Amen. Somebody said, where you get quarter pounders from back then? I said, God got places to find them. Amen. He brought him what? He brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, twice a day. And he drank by the brook. He had some water. Amen. Had to wash it down. Praise the Lord. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. I mean, you understand that? You already give a decree to the king. There will be no dew nor rain until I say so. And sometimes the word that God gives you, it affects you too. But that's not all there is. Sometimes God will send us to a place called there, or you'll get a house that God promised you, and you want to stay there for the next 100 years. And God said, and God comes and says, I want you to move here now. Oh, no. Oh, no. People come and say, no, no. Oh, no. Everybody else is saying, I believe this is the will of the Lord that we move. No, 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 no. This is it right here. And we remember how the Lord got us to where we're at. And we think like that's all God can do. God is bigger. I said, God is bigger. You know, one thing I found about God, he keep calling us out. You know, you may, in your walk with God, you may step into the water and it just may be ankle deep. But you keep walking with God. Next thing you know, he call you out a little further and you're knee deep. Next thing you know, he call you out a little further and next thing it up around your waist. Next thing you know, he calls you out a little further and up around your shoulders. Next thing you know, he call you out a little further and it's over your head. And that's where he's always wanted you. Where you have to depend on him. God has always wanted us to get to the place where we get out so far. Hear this. We get out so far with him that we don't even see dry land no more. And we have to call on the Lord. Amen. When something come up, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Not talking about, well, we can take care of that, you know. No, God said, I want to be in the place where I'm always Lord of your life. Hallelujah. But hear this. We have to respond to that. Where the children of Israel were concerned, they had the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. And the angel was leading them. Now hear this. Sometimes they came to a place, they rested there for a while. And God told him, he said, now when the cloud move, you need to move with the cloud. Look at somebody said, you need to move with the cloud. Amen. I want to serve notice on you today at 3506 North Harbor City Boulevard, Melbourne, Florida, 32935. The cloud is moving. Hallelujah. The cloud is moving. And we have to move with it. Or we can fight it. God forbid the calamity that will come if we disobey him. It's amazing what we open ourselves up to when we don't obey God and move when he say move. Oh, he'll be with us, but his protection is limited because of our disobedience. Oh, my. I've always endeavored to follow God, not only to hear the voice of God, but to follow him. Every move that I've ever made, I've made it because I heard the Lord say, do this. And I've endeavored to faithfully move when he said move. I remember when I was in Richmond, Virginia, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to move to Fort Worth, Texas and work with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Well, you know, I was married at the time to someone else. And she told me, she said, I ain't moving nowhere. Yeah, and she said, I'm not moving. I said, okay. And I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, you need to talk to your daughter. That's all I did. I ain't gonna fight with her. God said it. I mean, if God says something, then he need to talk to everybody. I'm not gonna grab the family up and by night and slip it out in the middle of the night and tie them all up and drag them all to go somewhere because they're gonna be fighting all the way. They have to have buy-in also. Amen. Did you hear what I said? They have to have buy-in also. Now, God didn't change his mind. And I just left it alone. And several months later, I didn't even bring it up no more. Several months later, she came to me. She said, you still think about moving to Texas? I said, mm-hmm. She said, well, I'm ready when you're ready. God talked to his daughter. That's how we wind up in Texas. Amen. Now, when we moved from Texas, now, in Texas, you know, she decided, well, that was enough. I had enough of this. I just want to go do what I wanted to do. And, of course, she did. God's still with her. Amen. And so then we went through, got divorced and everything for about 5 years, just the Colette and Douglas and myself. Just endeavoring to obey God, even when things don't go just right. You still got to obey God. God don't leave you because you went through a divorce. I say that for the camera. God does not leave you just because you went through a divorce. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. If he did, then I tell you, most of the church would be in trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. He's long suffering. He's faithful. And he keeps his word. And then there was a Miss Marion. She just happened to show up. Somebody had to help her to get around. And She was praying. She's living in California. She's praying and searching out the will of God. Did you know that we never would have met if she did not come to the meeting where I was at that particular day? And the only reason she came is her church said that we're going to be volunteering at that meeting, helping Brother Copeland out in that meeting in Anaheim. And she was touched and she felt like she needed to be a part of that. She ain't done no stuff like that before. But she got up and started walking. I'm telling just obedience. You don't know what the end of the story is going to be if you just get up and start moving. She just started walking. And There was no reason particular for me to look at her. I had 30 some women there working with me. Now, I'm not looking at any of them because I'm responsible for the money. And if the money ain't right, I don't care what you look like. I'm in trouble. Okay? And then the situation happened where she wound up going to dinner with us, a bunch of group from the ministry. They came by and said, Clyde, we're going out to, going over to the hotel and we're going to have a meal there. You want to join us? And they asked me and people on the crusade team. And I said, yeah. And she just happened to be the last one at the book table closing up. And I just turned and asked, I said, do you want to go have lunch or dinner with us? She said, yeah, I can go. And so she went. And then afterward, before the meeting was over, I always like to get some memorabilia for Colette and Doug. Remember these little the cities with the little snow things? You shake them up. You got a liquid and you shake them up. Yeah, I would always go get something for them, bring them stuff, bring them a cup or something like that. And I said, I need to go get them something. And I just happened to mention it to her. And she said, well, you can take my car. I'm like, okay. And she said, I'll go with you. Okay. So we're walking out in the parking lot, and I know she's walking behind, kind of slowly. And I said, so where's your car? She said, that one right there. She had just bought a 300ZX. And she tossed me the key. And I've been like, well, praise the Lord. You know, I'm accustomed to stuff. So I don't get excited, go, oh, my God, and all that fall out on the floor. And so we went and got the stuff for her. And then we come back. And again, I mean, no fireworks or nothing like that going off. You know, I call it live clean and holy. And I call it leave a baby in every city. If I ain't married to you, you know, you shouldn't be having no babies. Praise the Lord. Should I say, there's some people where they got birth control now. Shouldn't be having sex either. Amen. Praise the Lord. So anyway. After that, we leave town. And next thing I know, I sent her a letter, thanked her for working like I did with the other 30-something people. And somehow or another, I don't know, I guess we exchanged phone numbers or something like that. Or she may have called me or something. Somehow or another, I had her number. And she told me that she was coming for the Southwest Believers Convention 3 months later. I thought, well, okay, well, praise the Lord. And that wasn't unusual because other people came from other cities to work also. And so she gets there. And I come to find out later that one person that was at the meeting in Anaheim, I don't know if some they roomed together or something like that. This lady asked her, said, have you paid attention to him? Then said she told the lady, well, no, not particularly. She said, I think you need to. And Marion said, well, I mean, he's all right. He's cross-eyed, but, you know. I said, you know what the issue was when you saw me? Your eyes crossed up. No, but anyway. Anyway. And so, and this lady said, I really think you need to go to Fort Worth. And she said, I don't want to go. The lady said, I tell you what, I'm buying a ticket for you to go. And I'm paying for your hotel room, too. I didn't know any of this. Just so happened, she's there. One day I get so busy working at the meeting that I didn't have time to take Doug and Colette. Well, I tell you, Doug and Colette have been a big part of my life. I didn't have an opportunity to take them to go get dinner before the meeting started at 6 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock was showtime. I mean... I'm Crusade sales manager. So people coming from all over buying stuff. And so I just happened to turn around to her and I said, Marion, I'm not going to have time to go take them to get them something to eat. can you take them over to the hotel that I was staying at? Can you take them to the hotel? And they were staying there with me, and get them something to eat and just charge it to my room. She said, okay. That meeting, from that time, they stuck together for the rest of the meeting. At the end of the meeting, conclusion of the meeting, time for her to go back to California. We take her to the airport, and we at this time you could walk all the way up to the gate of the plane and say goodbye and all. And then we went and we got in the car, and I said, hey, let's just wait and see the plane take off, make sure nothing happens. Man, plane took off, two of them sitting in the back of the seat, and they start sniffling. I turn around, so like, what's going on back here? They said together like they had rehearsed it. We want Marion. I said, what? Needless to say, that was in August. In March, Marion and I got married. Of the following year. Okay? Talking about that place called there. Being in the right place at the right time. Just following your heart. You hear the voice of God. Just obey. Sometimes what God has for you to do to get to that place called there, it's disguised as work. Yeah, there's an opportunity for you to do something, but who's the president of Mexico? Manual labor. Manual labor is involved. Manual labor is involved. But yet, if you just obey. See, you've been praying all along for God to do something, to move, for this to happen. You have desires on the inside. But just obey what you have on the inside. And I'm telling you, the story is still being written. We are coming up on 28 years of marriage. And she just seemed to be more in love with me now than she ever been. And I just want to serve her all I can do. I can't serve her enough. Amen. Amen. She's just such a blessing. I don't ask her to do much of anything for me. I try to do what I can for myself and then just try to do whatever I can for her. And then she reciprocates. Wow, ain't that something? We don't sit around the house and fuss and all that. That's a choice. Some people think fussing is a part of marriage. Some people fuss like they get paid for it. Like it's their full-time job. No, we don't do that. Hear this. That place of obedience. Hear this. Obedience opens the door to the supernatural. Hear this. Obedience opens the door to supernatural provisions, supernatural health, supernatural favor, supernatural wisdom. It opens the door to all that. Obedience. God said in Isaiah 1 verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good or the fat of the land. But notice it's conditional. If you are willing, not having be dragged along. I don't want to go. No, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You know, with the building that we're looking at. Someone made a comment to me. He said, well, tell the people what's going on with the building. Well, what's going on with the building is we're still collecting money for it. Amen. You guys are continuing to give. People outside, partners are getting involved with the building. One of our partners that I even went to Bible school with, I just sent him a text. I said, I was surprised when I went to the post office and I received a check from you guys for $1,100. They said Clyde, we believe in you. And they said, we'll stand with you forever. I was like, wow. I said, you know how to make a man cry. Amen. The Lord told me this, which is why we're doing the newsletter. Also, Marion had been talking to me about doing the newsletter for a while. Need to get the newsletter going. Get the newsletter going. But I just felt impressed of the Lord. The Lord spoke to me and said, there are people that I have anointed to assist you. You have not given them an opportunity to assist you. He said, let them know what's going on. And that's not the only person either. I mean, others have come, have sent in checks. I mean, it's a beautiful thing when you go to the mailbox and you get that check for $1,000+. It's one thing to get it from the church, the offerings, but this is just people that have churches that they go to. This is a free will gift that they're sowing because they believe in the call and the anointing on your life. And they say, we want to see you in that building, and we're going to do whatever we can to help you out. So, the place that we're going to next is an interim place. And the place that we're going to buy is not the final place. Did you hear what I said? It's not the final place. I'm telling you, there's more on the inside than you've seen yet. There's more. I just learned to be patient. Just learn to be patient. But I don't know about you. I said this yesterday to the guys. I said, there are people that are in there that are my age right now. They're looking to retire. I'm looking forward to the next 20, 30 years of ministry. You hear what I say? I'm talking about ministry, not just locally, but ministry to the world. Why? God told me some things that were going to happen that I still have yet to see fulfilled. He told me when I was just a teenager, he said, Clyde, if you pay attention to what's going on in the world right now, he said, I'll raise you up. And there are many values that will be lost in the generations that's coming ahead. He said, there are values that will be lost. And he said, I'll raise you up and you'll restore values back to your generation. And sometimes people ask themselves, so man, why are you so timid? Why you seem like you're backing off? Why does it seem like you're just not busting out? I said, well, because I'm listening to him. Just like he told me that, he'd tell me the next step to take regarding this, that, and the other. I can go and try to make something happen, but if he ain't in it, Clyde got to foot the bill. But when God's involved, there's provisions, there's wisdom, there's people, there's everything that's necessary to fulfill it. Amen. I'm here to tell you, we ain't going nowhere. Amen. Matter of fact, pass the word around town. Because I hear it's amazing the stuff you hear around town. People get stuff so mixed up. Pastor Clyde closing the church. I'm like, who told you that? And you know, other people, you know, said, well, you know, I had some pastors saying, well, you know, there are going to be some people you're going to lose along the way. I refuse to make that confession. I believe people are going to be added. Why? Because of obedience, because of unity, and because of the power of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Because of those three things. Because of what? Obedience. Unity, obedience. Unity and the power of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. That will always keep us in that place called there. Not only us, but it'll keep you in that place called there. In Jesus' name. You may be facing some things right now. Maintain the unity. As husband and wife, make sure you get into agreement with one another. Speak the same thing. Don't be acting like two cats tied with their tails tied together trying to run in two different directions. No. Let's come together. For there the Lord hath commanded the blessing. Even life forevermore. Hallelujah. You know, when I lay in bed at night, you know, I like to lay over, put my hands over on my wife. Just pray over her. Bless her. I don't have to be, busting out loud and everything. Sometimes she's just sleeping. Ain't no need me waking her up. No need me waking her up. My hands can do the same thing. I just lay hands on her and just pray over. Just pray over. Somebody said, why should you pray over? It's amazing the stuff people say. Did you know there are some people, years ago, I found out one person was praying for her to die because they want to be with me. I'm like, I wouldn't marry you if you're the last thing on the earth. I got choice too. Amen. But people be, a whole lot of stuff be going on. I call it witchcraft. Yeah. If people open themselves up to anything, and now I understand, I'm not the only man on earth. I'm not the only man committed to God. I'm trying to help other men also develop a life and walk like mine. I'm trying to spread that around. But I'm not the only one. There are others. And there are others that have potential. Amen. And so God has a person for you. Amen. Somebody said, but I like you. I said, well, I like me too. And I ain't going to mess it up. I don't care how much money you got. You come up with me with $40 billion. I ain't leaving my wife for you. And you give me all of it. I ain't taking. You keep your money. I don't need your $40 billion out of the will of God. Amen. Amen. Love is a choice. And I chose to love that girl. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I think I'm through. Hallelujah. Now I want you to grab hands right now where you are. You can cross the aisles. That means you got to move. Talking about that place called there. Gracious Heavenly Father, you've given me this message to share with these your people. And I thank you. That which you place within my heart, you also place within their heart. That expectation, the covenant relationship to stand, to do whatever is necessary to take things to the next level, to do whatever is necessary to fulfill your will. I pray for them, Father. I pray for their family. I pray for their situation, their circumstances to change. I pray peace upon each of them today in the name of Jesus. I, in the name of the Lord, rebuke the devourer where you are concerned. Satan, that which you have stolen, bring it back in the name of Jesus. I call forth restoration today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for making us as a body of one. Where we run together, we speak together, we help one another, and we do even as you instructed us to do according to your word. There's no big I's, no little U's. We're all servants of the Most High God. So I thank you right now, even as hands are connected, I thank you for your anointing flowing through. I thank you that there's healing flowing through the body right now in Jesus' name. Ha! In the name of Jesus. And that will never be the same again in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you even for our place called there. We're not bothered. We're not ashamed of having to go to the school right now temporarily because we know that you are still moving. You have angels because you told me in the beginning of this year, I have released my angel to undergird you and bring you into a safe place. 2725 Center Place into a safe place. Couldn't be any better than center place. We thank you that you are God who keeps your word. You also told me, do not fear, for all will be well. Lord, I stand on your word. We stand on your word. That all will be well with us, saith the Lord. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, let the Lord be magnified. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.